He is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Our God is a God of the resurrection. Our text is the Old Testament reading, Exodus chapter 3, God coming to Moses in the burning bush, if you will, raising the people of Israel from their death, their slavery in Egypt. Let's pray. Gracious Lord, pour out the Holy Spirit on your church this day. Open our ears, open our minds, open our hearts to receive your word in faith and repentance. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. It seems that through the course of life, there are times when we struggle with who we are, why we are here. We might say we have an identity crisis. The terrible twos, little toddlers struggling to find their independence a little bit from mom and dad. The teenage years can be that time. The midlife crisis, the empty nest syndrome when all the kids leave the house. Who am I? Why am I here now? Retirement. Those are all times that we might wonder, who am I? Why am I here? Have kind of an identity crisis. In Exodus chapter 3, we have someone here who has an identity crisis. And that someone is our God. Our God has an identity crisis? Yes. Not that God doesn't know who he is. God, of course, knows who he is. But nobody else knows who God is. The people of Israel don't know him, really. Egypt, the Egyptians don't know him. The world doesn't know him. There's a lack of knowledge of God, a lack of faith in God. And in that sense, God's having a reputation crisis, an identity crisis. It's time for God to act. God's got to do something to show who he is, what he can do. In the book of Exodus, the people of Israel, of course, are slaves in Egypt. You know how many years they were slaves in Egypt? One of my confirmation kids should know this. How many years? You're all mumbling. I need to hear stronger answers. How many years? 5 years? 10 years? 20 years? 430 years. Hannah, you learned that, didn't you? Olivia's learned that. They were slaves 430 years in Egypt. Our nation hasn't even been around, but hardly half that amount of time, right? Slavery. And it was brutal, hard, difficult, cruel slavery under the Egyptian taskmasters. And if you were a Jew, a person of the tribe of Israel there, of the nation of Israel, and you were under that slavery and your forefathers have been under that slavery, all this slavery for years and years, there are two questions you're going to ask on a daily basis. You're going to ask, who is the real God? Who really is the true God? Is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob the God of our forefathers? Is he really the real God? If so, why hasn't he done anything for 430 years? Why hasn't he heard our prayers? Where are you at, God, if you're the real God? Or are the Egyptian gods the true gods? The Egyptians believed in many gods. They had a sun god, a moon god, a Nile River god, a fish god, a frog god. And they believed that Pharaoh himself was God incarnate. And it sure looked like, if you were a Jew in slavery, the Egyptian gods were the real gods because they had all the power. So, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, are you just God of the past? You're a has-been? Or maybe you're just a territorial God? You only reign in the land of Israel, but you don't reign over Egypt and the rest of the world? What kind of God are you? Who's the real God? And another question they're going to ask, can God really help us? If the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, this God is a God, can he really help us? He sure promised a lot through Abraham, didn't he? He promised to give them land. They don't have land anymore. They're slaves in Egypt. He promised to bless them, to be on their side against their enemies. He promised to make them to a great nation. That's a great nation, slaves in Egypt, 430 years. Now that's a great nation for you. And he promised a Messiah, a Savior, to come and save them from their sins. Where is he at? Is God just a windbag? He talks and talks and talks, promises all this stuff, but God can't really do anything. He can't deliver. He's not faithful to his promises. Who is the real God, and can this God really save us? God has a reputation crisis, an identity crisis. It's time for God to act to show who he is and what he can do. Who is the real God? God shouts, I am. Can God really save? God shouts, I can. I am and I can. And that's the message of Exodus 3 in the whole book. I am and I can. Say it with me. I am and I can. That's your God. Notice how many times in this particular text God speaks as I, all the things that God is and what he's going to do. There's at least 12, 13 times you have that pronoun I. God is trying to show, I'm God and I'm going to do something. Let's talk about the I am to begin, and then I'll talk about the I can. Moses asked the question of God. It shows really the lack of knowledge of God. Moses doesn't even know who God really is, what his name is. Moses asked, well, God, if the people asked, who are you? What's your name? What am I supposed to tell them? We don't know you anymore. You haven't done anything for 430 years. And God says to Moses, I am who I am. Tell them I am has sent me to you. Now, that's kind of an odd name. God calls himself I am. The Hebrew word is the word hayah, which literally means to exist or to be. And so you put that in the first person, it's I am, right? What's that mean? Why does he call himself I am? To be, to exist. There are three lessons inferred here, if not four, really four here, as we go to the New Testament here in a moment. Number one, God, by calling himself I am, is saying he's the only God. He is the only God. He doesn't say I am a God. He says I am. It implies he's the only God. There is no other. The Egyptian gods don't exist, and God will prove that soon when he sends the 10 plagues and destroys the entire country and the army. He is the only God, and there is no other. Israel, Moses, don't look for another God. Don't trust in another God. I am your God, the only God, Father, Son, Spirit, the only true God. That's one lesson. Another lesson is God is eternal. I am is kind of an eternal statement. God was the I am thousands of years ago. He's the I am today. He'll be the I am a million years from now when we're all in heaven, hopefully. The I am. He's always the I am. God isn't an I was. All right, I say that a lot. I was a good athlete. I was in shape one day. I could shoot the ball. And my kids say, that's before you got fat and old, Dad. And I'm like, that's right. Before your dad got fat and old. They're not that mean to me. But a lot of us are has-beens. We're was of the past. Now we're moving on. God's not an I was of the past, nor is God just an I will be. I'll help you in the future. I'll be there in the future. God's an I am right now. An ever-present help in trouble today, the I am, eternal. And thus, the 430 years of slavery is not that big a deal to God. As the Bible says, 1,000 years are like a day in his sight. So 430 years is not even a half day to God that they've been slaves. To the people, it's, oh my, 430 years, my. But to God, I'll take care of that. I'll send some plagues, we'll deal with that. He's eternal. Keep perspective, people, he's saying. I've been around a while. God is not made by something. He exists in and of himself. He's not made up like all the Egyptian gods and every other god, made up from someone's opinion. Our God exists always in and of himself. And also it means, thirdly, that God is changeless. When he says, I am, he doesn't say... He doesn't call himself, I might be. I could be. He says, I am. He's changeless. He's not a might be who's might be turning into something else later. Or a could be. It could be something else later. He's I am. He's changeless. Doesn't change. It's the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. God is holy. He will always be holy. Always has been holy. God is just. Always has been, is now, and will be just. God is omnipotent. Has been omnipotent, is now, and will be in the future. He is omnipresent, omniscient. All those things he was and is now and will be. He is the I am. He's changeless. And above all, for Moses and the people, God is love. God is merciful. God is forgiving of sins. He has been in the past. He is now for Israel, and he will be in the future. God loves the people of Israel. Though they're slaves 430 years, God hasn't forgotten them. He is faithful to his promise. He doesn't change his mind on something, change his mood. Oh, I don't feel like saving you guys. Goodbye, good luck. It's not God. He will save them. But he's a loving, gracious God and always will be. He's the only God. He's an eternal God. He's a changeless God. But the fourth point here on this, there's something missing. It's kind of an incomplete name, if you will, in the Old Testament. I am, you're left, okay, God, you are completed, more, come on. I am what? You're begging for more. I am, that's it. If you ask me, Pastor, what's your name? And I said, I am. I am, what's your name? And that's where we go to the New Testament. And God, in the giving of His Son, Jesus, completes the title. So we have it crystal clear. Think of all the things Jesus says about Himself in the book of John. I am the, come on, congregation, I am the bread of life, John chapter 6. Who is He? He's the bread of life who feeds our stomachs, more so He feeds our souls. That's who He is. I'm the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the vine, you are the branches. I am the good shepherd, He says. I am the resurrection and the life. He is risen. He is risen indeed, hallelujah. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the Alpha and the Omega. Christ is saying, when He says all these I am things, that He's the God of the burning bush. I'm the God who spoke to Moses. It was a little unclear back then, everything. Now it's clear in Me. I'm your everything, your Lord, your Savior. I'm your light, I'm your bread, I'm your resurrection, I'm your life, I'm the way, I'm the truth, I'm your good shepherd, I'm your everything. That's who I am. Jesus, if you will, completes the name. It was always there, but Jesus reveals it, we might say. You know, we had our big election day Tuesday. And generally, the election was kind of an anti-incumbent election, if you will. Throw out the bums. One guy said as he left voting, he said, I voted for anyone whose name I didn't recognize. That's not bad in politics, to vote for a new name. Someone whose name I don't recognize. That's okay in politics. It's not good in faith. He's saying to Moses, don't call upon a new name. A new God. There is no new name, no new God out there. We as Christians ever call upon the I Am. That's the name that saves. There is no other name given under heaven by which we must be saved than the name of Jesus. That's the name we call on. The forever name, the eternal name. That's the God we cling to in faith. We don't want another name. We have the name of our God, Father, Son, and Spirit. Who is the real God? God shouts, I am. Now, more He shouts, I can. God just doesn't just stick His chest out and say, oh, I'm God. Well, can you do anything, God? We're still slaves in Egypt. When are you going to do something? You just all talk? God promises Abraham here, and then He delivers, doesn't He? I have surely seen the affliction of My people who are in Egypt, have heard their cry. I know their sufferings, and I have come down. God humbles Himself. God comes down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, to bring them up to a land flowing with milk and honey. I am and I can, and God proves it. Real quickly, doesn't take a whole lot of time now, God gets to work. Moses goes back reluctantly, and what does God do? You have the 10 plagues. And I don't know about you, but the 10 plagues and that whole 10 plagues, Passover, Red Sea, that's some of the most spectacular history we have in the whole Bible. It's dramatic, it's powerful, it's impressive. You don't believe in God, you do after reading Exodus. Our God's powerful. Our God reigns in the heavens and the earth. Our God saves poor, lost slaves that are worthless. God loves them. God lifts them up. He delivers. And God does it all Himself. God gets no help. He doesn't really need Moses, but He uses him. God does it all Himself. The 10 plagues. Turns the Nile River into blood. You have boils and gnats and frogs and darkness. God's just toying with Pharaoh. I'm God. Your Egyptian gods aren't real. I'm the creator. I'm God over Egypt and Israel and Japan and everywhere else. I'm God. Then God gets serious. He kills the firstborn, doesn't He? And has the Israelites wipe the blood of a lamb over their homes, Passover. And then God parts the Red Sea. He gets down to business. I've toyed with you long enough. It's time to do it. As He drowns the army and saves His people. Can God deliver his people? Can God save his people? 430 years in slavery. Can God do it all himself? I can, God says. The Exodus proves once and for all that God can save and deliver. Right? Wrong? Not quite. The Exodus proves God can save people from a Pharaoh. I could probably take down Pharaoh, Pat. Come on. One man against me? He can take down Egypt. America could whip Egypt. Come on. All our bombs and guns, we'd take down Egypt, couldn't we? Okay, God can take down Pharaoh and Egypt. Can God? Can God take away sin? That's the real slavery. Can God conquer the devil, whom I can't dare conquer? Can God conquer death? God, you know those 10 plagues, but what about sin, death, and the devil? Can you do that, God? And to answer that question, God doesn't come in a burning bush. God comes as a baby in a manger. God doesn't use Moses' staff to answer that question. He uses two pieces of wood of his beloved son to answer that question. God doesn't kill all the firstborn. God sacrifices his own firstborn son, Jesus. God doesn't put blood over homes. God washes blood over our hearts and puts blood in our mouths today. This is my body. This is my blood. God doesn't drown the devil in the Red Sea. God drowns him right here in the waters of my baptism. Can God take away sin? The cross says, yes, he can. Can God take away the devil and all the demons of hell? The cross says, yes, he can. Can God give me the real promised land, heaven? And the cross and the resurrection say, yes, he can. I am and I can. And now we stand and we shout, I believe. Please rise.